You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us through the app or on social media, we really appreciate you starting your day and your work week out here as well. I got a question for you. Have you been clamoring to bring back racist sports nicknames? Somebody has, and he lives in the White House. And it appears to be another attempt to distract from other failings coming out of Washington, D.C. We will talk about that and so much more coming up through the course of the morning. Parker Olson produces this fine program out of Madison Studio A2. And you know, before we tell you what's on the show today, we have to bring him in because the first thing on the show today is we are just going to gush on the Brewers all morning long. 10 in a row. 10 in a row, Parker.
Oh, it's so cool. Milwaukee folks, you're so close to your free George Webb
George Webb burgers. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So close.
I mean, look, sweeping the Dodgers right before the All-Star break, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was nice. Yeah. Sweeping them again right after the All-Star break, even better.
So six
games of the 10-game winning streak are against the Dodgers.
It feels so good because I was saying the other day, I was like, this is the worst time ever. This is the first time ever that I've ever been upset to get to the All-Star break. The last couple of years, they've been like kind of laboring through injuries, not really playing as well as they should be. They kind of like get like 8 games above 500 early in the year, then just sort of cruised for the last couple of years. We're flying right now. We're firing on all cylinders. It's so cool.
We really are.
It's so fun.
And in places we did not expect at the start of the season. So it is just really nice. So we'll talk about that today. So we'll get into a little bit of baseball. Also baseball and football, courtesy of the President of the United States, who is proving once again that he can ruin anything, even our escape into sports for a little while, threatening to unleash his army of trolls on two different teams unless they restore some of the racist nicknames that we had all finally sent into history's dumpster, at least as far as those two teams were concerned. Coming up in our 7 a.m. hour, Selena Heller will be here, and our reporter for Up North News has done an interview with Corrine Hendrickson, child care provider and potential candidate for legislature, talking a bit more about the frustration that the new state budget comes nowhere near the investment needed to help parents with rising child care costs, or the businesses who lose good workers when somebody has to stay home. And, of course, the providers who can't get the bare minimum for offering safe and educational child care that enables our state's economy to grow. Then later, we are going to talk about the real groomers. Not the ones you often hear from the political right. When it comes to the people who are preying upon the young and vulnerable in order to recruit them into a harmful lifestyle, that's usually happening from the political right. In other words, what you hear from them is another case of projection, accusing others of the things they're confessing to do. We will look at a new Courier Newsroom series that examines how vulnerable young men are being targeted to push hyper-masculine MAGA agendas, and young women are being taught to embrace a MAHA agenda of outdated anti-feminist tropes. That and much more ahead. We're also, this is our week where we're curious as to whether sometimes Parker will be in you know, one box on the screen, I'll be in this other one, and sometimes in a box on the screen up comes meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And this week is always kind of give and take because she's camping at EAA Air Venture. She's very excited about this.
Jeez.
But when one is camping, it does not normally happen beneath a cell phone tower. And so, not to mention the place where the world's busiest airport, which is Whitman Field in Oshkosh this week for the Air Venture. So I think we're going to hear from her. But we always caution people that, you know, when you're camping out there in the confines of Oshkosh, you know, it's touch and go.
If I were her, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, she still wants to. Don't get me wrong. It's her job. So she wants to tell us more about the forecast because, again, it's going to get a little bit stormy. Muggy. It's going to get hot this week, you know, in parts of Wisconsin. So we'd love to hear more of the details from her as we move throughout the course of the day. I understand that Coldplay had a concert at Camp Randall's there down there in Madison. Anybody get divorced as a result of that one?
Not that I know of. As far as I know, the Camp Randall Coldplay experience was divorce-free.
I mean, look, I know live concert tickets can be expensive, but not so expensive as to cost you, your family, your house, half your 401k. That CEO who is captured on the Jumbotron at their Massachusetts show, embracing his human relations person.
Oh, the irony.
And they are not married to each other. Anyway, that CEO resigned over the weekend, so that company will be looking for a new boss, and I sense they will be looking for a new HR person.
Well, yeah, I would think. But who's going to fire the HR person?
Oh, I think, much like the CEO, she'll...
Is there a board for that?
She'll just know to go. I don't think she's going back to the office to collect her stuff. Neither is he. Just have the stuff sent, please. You know? And it's Alicia puts up on YouTube, good morning. The memes coming from that Coldplay cam are wild. They are. I mean, it's, again, we're not delighting in the, you know, in any marriage falling apart. But the moment itself, you can't argue with it. The moment was as, you know.
It's a very funny clip.
It was funny. And you had scoreboards all over the sports world this weekend doing Coldplay cams where, like, you had the Philly Fanatic with his arms around Mrs. Philly Fanatic or whatever, and then the camera would cut to them and be like, oh, no, don't look at us, don't look at us. And it was pretty funny.
It was a good one. We contemplated doing it at the Mallards yesterday, but we did not end up doing it.
No?
We weren't 100% sure that was our brand.
Yeah, because then you got to explain it to the kids and the stands and everything. So I totally get that. It's also been an interesting weekend reminding people that, and look, if there are any human resources folks listening, you're not necessarily going to like hearing this, but what people have been reminding each other this weekend is that the human relations department, the human relations director, works for the company. I mean, they use titles like chief people officer, you know, and other things to make things really super friendly. And that's a good thing. It's good to want to be a friendly HR person. But ultimately, HR is a department of the company and will work for the company. And boy, oh boy, stories have been going around this weekend about HR directors, either toxic bosses or, you know, people who just weren't doing their job. In other words, it's not been an easy week. Or an easy few days for, you know, the human resources world out there.
No.
Which, it's too bad because there are, and I've talked to people from the, what is it called? The Society of Human Resources Managers or something like that. Again, good people who want to educate their workers, you know, here's how to use your benefits and all of that. But, you know, it just takes one moment, just one HR person sleeping with the CEO, getting caught on the Jumbotron at a Coldplay concert to just bring it all crashing down. So,
what a horrible.
So you worked the Mallards game. You did not put up anything controversial on the scoreboard. Everything else goes smoothly.
As far as I know, nothing controversial was on the scoreboard. We did, and I assume that our listeners here are going to be kind of mad at me about this. We had a visitor yesterday. We had an actor from The Office, who was at the game, like, doing meet and greet and stuff and signing autographs and stuff.
You're being kind of cagey. Was this Steve Carell or?
I have no idea. Okay. I didn't watch The Office. I have no idea who she was.
Oh, you just know some guy from The Office was there?
Some woman. I think her name was Meredith, I think. was her name. I don't
remember. Oh, sure. Meredith from The Office. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't care. She came up in the press box and was like taking selfies with people, and like people were really excited about it. I was just on my camera like, yeah.
Would it be whatever. Kate Flannery who played Meredith on The Office?
I think that was the name. Yeah.
Okay.
I had no idea who she was. I was like, yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right. So you had a quasi-celebrity sighting there.
Yeah. I wasn't wound up.
It did absolutely nothing for you. All right.
Not a thing. Yeah.
Anybody from The Office? Were you not an Office watcher?
I was just never an Office watcher, which is funny because I probably would love the show from what I've heard about it. I probably would like it.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched more of it than, you know, other shows, but I was never like, you know, I had to watch it religiously. Now it's just on so much in reruns that you can't help but stumble upon it now and then.
Yeah.
We had, you know, there's shows that seem to be ubiquitous, and then you realize not everybody watches everything. We had friends out this weekend, and at one point, because the Brewers were playing out west, I tuned in what I hoped was the pregame, but it hadn't started yet, so I was channel surfing and came upon Ridiculousness on MTV.
Oh, God.
Now, and our friends had never seen it, had no idea. And they're like, wait, this is America's Funniest Home Videos with people getting hurt. I said, yeah, and it's funny. Much of the time.
This is great entertainment.
A lot of times where they say, you know, nobody was harmed in the making of these. Oh, no. People were harmed in the making of these. But no, they had never seen Ridiculousness before. But
I've seen maybe an episode of that, actually. I don't think I've ever seen a full.
I had never heard of it before the pandemic, but when we were all shut-ins, that's when we kind of discovered it. Sure. And we watched a lot of it in the early weeks or months of the pandemic when we were all shut-ins. So we got to know that show pretty well. And it taught us, it gave us the idea for an important lesson that we taught to our grandson, a teenager at the time, and that we think you should all teach your children, grandchildren, or maybe, you know, younger siblings or anything like that. And it goes like this. If you're about to do something and all of your friends pull out their cell phones and start to point the camera at you, rethink your plan. Because there's a pretty good chance they don't think it's a great idea, and maybe they can make a buck or two selling it to Ridiculousness or America's Funniest Home Videos or something. So too many people go, oh, look, all my friends are getting their cameras out. This is going to be cool. No, dude. It may not be cool. You might want to think twice before trying that skateboard jump. Hey, I referenced the Oshkosh Airport being a busy place. It sure is. And in today's daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Of course, we talk about one of the state's most iconic events and the largest air show in the world. Anywhere from 500,000 to 700,000 people attending, thousands of planes. Lots of aviation history. It is a huge boost to the local economy. Thousands of local volunteers help it all operate smoothly. And even if you aren't an aviation buff, it is worth celebrating what AirVenture means to Wisconsin. Keep an eye out for some special appearances, including not one, but two Goodyear blimps making their appearance this year at AirVenture. So a lot of good things to see out there in the Oshkosh area. Let's see, there will be, just today, the military demonstration teams include a C-17, F-22 Raptors, an F-35A, and a B-1 flyby. Well, that's going to be real big. So a lot happening at AirVenture. So we just celebrate and hope everybody in Oshkosh has a fun and safe week ahead. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, let's give a few details on the Brewers now and their 10-game winning streak. Six of those 10 games coming in 2-3-game sweeps of the Los Angeles Dodgers. 6-5 was the final yesterday, though it did come with some drama. It was a close game throughout, and the Dodgers were threatening in the bottom of the ninth. In fact, they had the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. They were at 1.1 strike away from losing to the Brewers, but they managed to score a run. And then finally, pitcher Abner Uribe retired Mookie Betts with the bases loaded for that final out in the bottom of the ninth, and 6-5 again was the score. Since May 25th now, is that right? Yeah, since May 24th, as Roger notes on Facebook, the Brewers are 34-12. They have 31 wins against teams above 500 more than any other. They have the best record in baseball since May 24th. And yet for all of this, still not alone in first place in the National League Central. I mean, at one point we were 6.5 back of the Cubs. And now we're tied with the Cubs, although they have the tiebreaker so far. So technically we're not even in first place on our own there because, again, the Brewers have one of the hottest records in baseball right now, along with the Cubs and the Detroit Tigers. So this could all come to a head next week because a week from today is when the Brewers and Cubs start a series at American Family Field. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The Brewers right now, they've left Los Angeles. They're in Seattle. They will be playing the Mariners tonight and tomorrow night and then Wednesday afternoon. And then they are off on Thursday. They come home starting this Friday for a series against the Florida Marlins, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then they have that Cubs series next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So to get back to tonight, they are in Seattle. The pregame will start at 8:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. So again, plenty of reason to tune in to the Brewers. And hey, if they can pull off those wins tonight and tomorrow and get to 12 in a row, those folks down in southeast Wisconsin who have a George Webb's restaurant near them will be able to get free hamburgers because that goes back a ways to the...
Oh, yeah.
When was... I know it was 1987 because they won 13 in a row, but then there was one since then. What was it, 2010 or something like that, where they had 12 games. But it was between...
Oh, it went into the playoffs. That's right.
Yeah, it went into the playoffs. But, yeah, it's one of those fun little giveaways it doesn't happen. It's not every day your team wins 12 in a row. So that's really nice.
No, it takes at least 12 days.
Good, excellent point. Thank you. This guy ruins everything. So I'm looking at stories that we're going to be sharing with folks today. And we get this reminder that, we have a president who can even ruin our escape into sports. Threatening to unleash his army of trolls on two sports teams unless they restore the racist nicknames that had been sent to history's dumpster. But Trump now says, he said over the weekend, he's threatening to hold up a new stadium deal for the Washington NFL team if it does not restore its old offensive name, a slur of Native Americans. And while he was at it, he said the Cleveland Guardians baseball team needs to revert to its former Indians nickname. Now, Washington's been the Commanders since 2022. Think of it whatever you will. But the team is looking to get a new stadium, go back to the old RFK Stadium site. And in January, before leaving office, President Biden signed a bill that transferred land from the federal government to the District of Columbia. And now Trump is threatening to hold up that deal. Next thing you know, I'm thinking Trump's going to demand any stadium be named for RFK Jr. because, you know, while we're offending all of our Native American communities, why not offend the whole Kennedy family as well? In D.C., residents elect a mayor, a city council, and commissioners to run the city's day-to-day operations, but Congress maintains control of the city's budget in America's most ironic ongoing example of taxation without representation. And all this so that the racist in chief can call for real damage to be done to a place, Washington, D.C., that should have become its own state a very long time ago. As for lumping in Cleveland as well, even though he has no leverage over that club. Well, in doing that, he just kind of gives up the game. History is going to look back on all these moments when Trump coincidentally reached back into his dusty bag of cheap tricks and pulled out a race card to play, or anti-LGBTQ, or xenophobia. And history will note how ramblings like these often coincided with an effort to change the subject when he was getting negative press for something else. So I think we've given this just enough attention to remind folks that we have a raging racist ruining things in D.C., and we can return to what he's trying to get us to stop talking about. His really weird about-face on Jeffrey Epstein. And we're actually not going to talk about that much either, only to say we are recognizing Trump's effort to shift the spotlight. So Trump tried to make it look like progress when he told his Justice Department to seek the release of sealed grand jury transcripts in the prosecution of Epstein, the sexual predator, and his former girlfriend. But former federal prosecutors said that even if this happens, it's unlikely to produce much that isn't already known. Because they tell you when prosecutors seek an indictment, they don't share everything with the grand jury. Just enough to get the indictment so the subjects can be charged. And even then, it could take weeks or months of legal wrangling to decide what can be released. There's still a whole lot that would not be released by unsealing the grand jury transcripts that led to the indictment. So again, this is all pretty much a diversion compared to a wholesale release of all the Epstein files, again, minus identifying information about the victims. And if Republicans wanted to do that, they would have signed on to a Democratic plan to force the DOJ to release the Epstein files, but they voted that down last week. Instead, this week, they're going to try to, again, create a diversion by saying they're supporting a resolution that calls for the release. They could have done more. They chose not to. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up. Dr. Kristen Lyerly to follow here on the Civic Media Radio Network. From the mailbag, from Jim at Brookfield on the text line. Good morning, Pat. Went to a family get-together of my wife's cousins yesterday. My wife grew up in West Bend. However, all her cousins grew up in Beloit and are all diehard Cubs fans due to their grandfather. I never had a more enjoyable time with them as they were constantly on their phones checking the Cubs-Red Sox score. Since it didn't end well for the Cubs, the cousins then had to predict that the Brewers will fade. Time will tell. Jim from Brookfield. It's sad to be a Cubs fan, to be having one of the best records in baseball, and yet here we are, Brewers fans, living rent-free in their heads. One of them, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, is with us now as well.
Let's be honest, though. If you're a Cubs fan, you're probably also a Bears fan, so you're primed for this.
The losing?
Yeah, you know how to deal with the sadness and the losing. Yes. I'm teasing.
It is fun though. I mean, it is also frustrating. We're both fan bases are antagonizing each other. I mean, mm-hmm. We've been winning 10 games in a row, and throughout that whole time, the Cubs were winning. They'd won like 6 of their last 10. So it was very tough to gain ground, but you know, here we are, getting closer and closer. Is that a Bay Beach shirt on I see there for Green Bay?
Yes, it is. Right. I'm celebrating your second week in Green Bay. So full Bay Beach. I've got my Green Bay Packer mug.
Nice.
We've got the shareholders meeting coming up on Friday. And of course, training camp. So things are heating up in Northeast Wisconsin.
They are. Wait, are you a shareholder?
I am.
Oh, I mean, I see so many certificates behind you there. And I wasn't sure if stock ownership in the Packers was one of them. So
I revealed 2 of those certificates over the weekend in a post that I put on my social media because 2 of them are volunteer awards for Wisconsin Public Television when I lived in Madison. I volunteered there for many years, and I put out a post just in support of public television mm-hmm. in light of the ridiculous defunding that happened last week.
I say at the risk of sounding like a broken record here, but it's not like the money that they're taking away from public TV and public radio is going back to taxpayers in some way, shape, or form. It's going to pay so that the very wealthy don't have to pay taxes as much. So
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
No.
Although, and they had already appropriated that money. Like, they literally, I think the most concerning thing is they had already budgeted for it, and then they gave it back. So they gave away the one power that Congress has, the power of the purse.
Right. They're just rolling over and capitulating and treating the president like he is some kind of a dictator. And he is acting like a dictator, saying that he can just unilaterally bully teams into changing their names and things like that. But I will say one of the funnier posts that I saw, and we talked about on Friday, Stephen Colbert essentially being fired, CBS canceling his show. I mean, they say it has nothing to do with Trump and the merger, but nobody believes them. But one of the posts I saw of the weekend is that Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, who is basically one of the richest women in the world, because, you know, again, Jeff Bezos, you know, one of the richest guys in the world, lost half his wealth, and he's still one of the richest people in the world. And she's one of the richest people in the world as a result of it. And Post going up going, she could do the greatest thing right now. And she could put enough in an endowment to save public radio and public TV and hire Stephen Colbert and put him on TV just to rip on Trump and Bezos and all the rest of those bozos. And it would be epic. If only Mackenzie Scott, however, is using her billions of dollars for philanthropy and doing good. So I guess we can't make too many demands on her. But if she would like one more investment opportunity.
I don't think Stephen Colbert is going to be in danger. I think, you know, we know that he's got the most popular show in late night. He's funny. He's witty. He's got all these opportunities. So he's not going to go anywhere. He's just going to do something different.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt, he's going to be just fine and will simply be that much sharper, you know, with his skewering. And that's fine. What I really want to see is, and I'm sure Vegas is taking bets, you know, whether Stephen Colbert lasts through the end of his contract at the end of May. Because, I mean, if you got nothing to lose at this point, you know.
Right. This could
be
fun.
You get to say whatever you want for the next 10 months or so. You know, until this is all said and done. But yeah, he'll be fine if that's what he chooses to do. But again, it's just the whole notion that this could even happen is just such a sad commentary on media and things like that today. I also saw one of your posts that you were on your bike again with some of Green Bay's finest. Were you didn't overdo it, did you?
No, I just took a normal bike ride downtown. It was Art Fest over the weekend in Green Bay. So much stuff is happening all over the state. We love summer so much in this state. Mm-hmm. So it was this wonderful little local art fest with food and music and beautiful stuff.
Good. I believe I'm going to wander up to Oshkosh on Friday.
Are you?
Yes. So you feel free to join me if you want to make the run down. And, you know, just to take a look around, see if there's anything happening in town in Oshkosh this week. I think I might notice some air traffic around.
Oh, yeah.
I have one of those apps, Flight Radar, that tracks planes, you know, as they're going over your head and all that. And I love I saw some of the graphics of the lineup of planes waiting to land in Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. And the line of little tiny planes on the radar stretches back. It would stretch back like 45 miles. Mm-hmm. You know, they're spaced 2 miles apart and they're all waiting for their turn to land. And others are in a holding pattern somewhere else. And it just looks like a lot of fun. There's a lot that's going to be happening there over the next several days.
I remember being a little kid in Kakana, which is like 45 minutes north of Oshkosh, and seeing all of the air traffic and people getting excited even that far away about the EAA being in town. Yeah, it's obviously a big deal across the world, but a very big deal here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Brittany Merlot is camping there this week. So we hope that she'll chime in after the 7 o'clock news. But again, if she's roughing it, we may not. It all depends. And not to mention the demand, we talk about the air traffic, but, you know, in terms of other infrastructure, not just the hotels and the roads and everything. But I mean, there's only so much bandwidth for things like, you know, the interwebs and things like that. So I guess I never even gave much thought to that, to these big special events, what these telecommunication companies do to try to make sure that they can get service out to everybody.
Well,
that
don't they set up like the mobile things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they know how to do this, Pat. They've been doing this for a while.
Oh, I know. They're pros. You know, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unlike some people, which takes us to Tony Weed. the member of Congress.
Do we have to? Come on.
Just long enough to point out a bill that he introduced. Now, Kristen.
Yes, Pat.
If you had been the congressional rep for the 8th and I were the congressional rep in the 7th,
yeah. I think the bill. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? I never really thought about that.
Oh, the bills, the things we would be introducing, you know, the things that we could be getting done.
We'd be feeding people, making sure they had health insurance.
You know, making sure there's a roof over people's heads. Yeah. And instead, Tony Weed appears to be the constituency for this new bill appears to be mass shooters because. The congressman put out press releases talking about his bill he introduced to basically prohibit any federal agency from having restrictions on firearm magazines, on magazine capacity. And, you know, of course, it's all done under the guise of, quote unquote, protecting the Second Amendment. But all it really does is protect anybody who needs to fire, you know, 100 rounds in 10 seconds, like the Las Vegas shooter did. So we're not going to. I don't think this bill's going anywhere, Kristen. Necessarily. I mean, maybe Tony Weed thinks it's great to stand on the side of, you know, mass shootings, but I don't know if that's enough to get the bill passed. And regardless, it doesn't help anybody. So
I suspect that Tony Weed really had nothing to do with it, and he is just a conduit. Because if there's one thing I know about Tony Weed, it's that he is a tool for Donald Trump, and that's all we've really seen out of him. And, you know, with regards to this bill in particular, I saw it and I rolled my eyes and moved on. But it was my partner, who is a Green Bay police officer, who brought it to my attention. He's worried about it. He said, if you need these expanded magazines for any reason other than the public defense, in which case it is allowed, then there's a problem. There is no logical reason. If you're a hunter and you need one of these expanded magazines, like you should practice more. So as a law enforcement officer, the person who has to deal with the incidents that would evolve out of this legislation if it were successful, my partner was concerned about it. Well, this is not something that serves. This is not something that the majority of Americans want.
No. And when you see the blurb in here, you see, of course, a quote from Tom Tiffany, you know, also tooling for Trump. You see people from all these various, gun groups. I'm not seeing anybody in law enforcement with a quote in here saying, oh, thank goodness somebody can now shoot at us 100 times, you know, in 10 seconds. No, that seems to be missing from a group that loves to say they back the blue. This isn't really the way that that things are going to get done here. So, yeah. Oh, one more thing this week, Chris, from Chris Hambuck Boyle, the Wisconsin Public Education Summer Summit is in Green Bay on Thursday.
Oh yeah. That's amazing.
I know. My goodness. Huh? Maybe I need to make a guest appearance up there too. It's going to be a fun road trip week this week for me. Shows in Madison on Wednesday and Thursday. I got a Brewers game on Friday.
I've got a spare room for you.
Oh, see, wait, I could do the show from there.
You could. We could do it in my office.
I don't know. With all those certificates on the wall behind you, I'd feel very intimidated. You know, whereas I've just got a whole bunch of these books. You know what you don't see up on this bookshelf behind me, though? Those stupid lights that fell down again.
Wait, they're gone again.
They're gone again. So this time, I really am going with the duct tape to keep those things up.
I think
know.
It looks good. I kind of like the no lights. Do you need the lights?
I don't need the lights. Sherry thought they'd be a good idea. Tony up in Ashland has also called them a good idea. They give a little contrast. Apparently the dark bookshelves and the dark hair or something. But
the dark hair?
I don't know.
Is it dark?
It's not as dark as it used to be. Tell you that much. So maybe that's what's making it easier for me to distinguish between the two. I don't know. So yeah, you were biking. I got on the pontoon twice this weekend.
Oh, what a perfect weekend to pontoon.
Oh, it was just gorgeous. It really was. You know, with the exception of a few folks who, you know, on any body of water in the weekends, you just kind of look at them and you go, really? You needed to do that? You need to make that much noise? You need a boat that big? You know? But it was
come down to thighs mattering, Pat?
It sure does for some people with their boats, you know. Mm-hmm. It is. But it was just gorgeous. And we talk about farmer tans and things like that, but their boat captain tan is real. You know, this one that was up here on the throttle versus this arm, which was hidden from the sun, it's a very different circumstance here. But
this is a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. I'm doing just fine with it. Are you actually having a quiet week this week? Are you not traveling to, you know, D.C. or to Oslo to get a Nobel Prize or anything like that?
No, I'm going to be home. It is so nice to just be home and hang out with the boys and just enjoy some time together.
Do you have a weekend show to plan as well?
Yeah, this weekend we have Dennis Peters from the Glam Band. Are you familiar with the Glam Band?
I am not.
Oh my gosh, the Glam Band is this like awesome hard rock group that does all of these 80s hair songs, and they're so much fun. Dennis Peters, the lead singer, was recently diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer.
Oh.
So Dennis is going to talk about his career. We're going to talk about the benefit that's happening next week in Green Bay called On Stage for Cancer. And it's going to be an amazing episode. Dennis is quite a character. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, good. You can catch that weekends, Saturday at 3 on the Civic Media stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh. And of course, go to civicmedia.us to learn more about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. Today's history lesson is coming up next, along with Selena Heller, reporter for Up North News, as we always do, mornings up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Go ahead, Kristen. She's dancing for us right now, having no idea that her favoritest group on earth would be kicking off today's history lesson. But Duran Duran's A View to a Kill spent its second week at number one this week, 40 years ago this week, 1985, to what was A View to a Kill from?
James Bond movie, A View to a Kill.
There you go. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you weren't just thinking about the Duran Duran song end of it, but there actually was a purpose in this tune.
Well, Selena, you know, John Taylor, the bassist for Duran Duran, was a big James Bond fan. So that was how this all came together.
Oh,
happy to give you the full story if we've got another 15 minutes.
sure. Selena, we'll just go grab some breakfast. We'll come back. It'll be fine. Selena, how was your weekend?
Very good. Had a little country jam over the weekend here in Blair.
Okay.
That was fun.
Uh-huh. Like that whiskers just whops you in the face with his tail. You're like, yeah. I'm here too. All right. Let's see. Let's go through some of the birthdays here. A couple of former Brewers. CC Sabathia is 45 today. Jeff Jenkins is 51. Comedic actor John Lovitz is 68. Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, formerly known as Cat Stevens, is 77 today. Robin Williams was born this day 74 years ago. Lost him way too soon back in 2014. Former Senator Paul Wellstone was born on this day 81 years ago and passed away in 2002. Now, let's go to 1989. And Parker's going to play a clip here in just a sec. Performing on the Club MTV tour at a stop in Bristol, Connecticut, was Milli Vanilli. And as they're singing Girl, You Know It's True, something went wrong. And people realized they were lip-syncing along to a voice track. Let's give a listen to that fateful show this day in 1989. Whoops. And at that point, they kind of shuffled off stage and people realized this was a track. And so was pretty much everything they did. And it was the beginning of the end for Milli Vanilli back on this day in 1989.
This is like the classic story of like the slippery slope where they had no idea that this was going to blow up. And then all of a sudden they were in the middle of it and they were young and naive and they didn't know. There's a great documentary about it. Highly recommended.
Really?
Yeah.
You see all the cool stuff.
I love the rockumentaries.
Then you know, the next generation, if that if I'm right using that term, would be Ashley Simpson on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And my daughters, you know, were kind of Ashley Simpson fans, you know, of sorts, or at least knew who she was. And yeah, they too are like, oh, she was lip syncing. Like, yeah, this is the world of music sometimes. Mm-hmm. The number one song this week in 1971 was by Carole King.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
See, it was on this day in 1969 that Neil Armstrong became the first person to walk on the moon, followed minutes later by Buzz Aldrin, who is 95 years old and still very much with us. So that was a 1969, kind of a sad bookend to it. It was on this day in 2011, came the end of the space shuttle program with the landing of Atlantis on mission 135. And that was it for the space shuttle program. The number one song this week in 1973 was by Jim Croce.
I had a neighbor named Leroy growing up, and I thought he was Bad Leroy Brown because I was little and I didn't know the difference.
Oh, this kid has a song written about him. That's crazy.
I know. It wasn't quite Bad Leroy Brown, but coincidentally, there are two other bad men in history. On this day in 1865 in Springfield, Missouri, Wild Bill Hickok shot and killed a man in what is regarded as the first Western showdown. And 8 years later, 1873, Jesse James and the James Younger Gang pulled off the first successful train robbery in the American Old West in Adair, Iowa. On this day in 1949, the U.S. ratified the North Atlantic Treaty, making us part of NATO. And then it was 1 year ago today that Joe Biden turned the political world on his head, announcing his withdrawal from the 2024 presidential election. This is Coral Reef Awareness Day, and this is National Junk Food Day. So, put you on the spot here. Favorite junk food? If you had to have something horribly unhealthy for you right now, what would it be, Parker Olson?
Pat, you know I love my trolley sour gummy worms.
Oh yes, the sour gummy worms.
They make me happy.
Selena, junk food.
Oh, gosh. I ate a lot of sour cream and cheddar, like Ruffles chips over the weekend.
Yep, that counts. Yep, very much so. Kristen?
Doritos taco flavor.
Oh, see, I was going to go for the cool ranch.
That I like been... the cool ranch. I haven't had the taco flavor.
The taco flavor was gone for a while, and then it kind of came back, and it's still in its old school original label that it had from back in the day, where, again, I'm almost embarrassed to say, old enough to remember when Doritos were brand new, and including the taco flavor that came in that packaging. And it was like this big deal because all we had back then was potato chips that tasted like styrofoam. Mm-hmm. And it turns out you can now sprinkle, you know, flavored dust on anything and call it a snack. And yes.
Dill pickle balls. Have you guys had those?
Dill pickle balls?
I went and searched these all over because Emery loves pickle anything. Uh-huh. And I got it, and it was like a Costco size, you know, dill pickle ball, and they're not very good.
Oh, so. No, now you got this whole jar of them.
Pickle balls.
Big old jug of dill.
No, they're like
pickle
cheese balls.
They're like cheese balls, but pickle flavored
and green.
All right, well, if anybody can use them, contact Selena. She got a whole bunch of them to give out to you. And then she'll be back after the news to talk to us a bit more about the continued anger about what was and what was not in the Wisconsin state budget and the impact it's going to have on things like affordable child care. Two more hours to go as we get rolling on another one of these Monday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.